Chanda Jayavita Chandra Jaya Gora Bhakta Vinda Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai Sri Krishna Sarvaraj Ki Jai. The table's still wet. So, let's see where we left off here. Mr. Chaitanya and Benares, the Varanasi, speaking with the Mayavadis, the disciples of Prakasha and Saraswati. Tanradoshan nahi teno agya karidas, arye shunitara haya sarvanash. This is Adi Leela, chapter 7, text 114. Shankaracharya, who is an incarnation of Lord Shiva, is faultless because he is a servant carrying out the orders of the Lord. Did we read that yesterday?
No.
But those who follow his Mayavadi philosophy are doomed. They will lose all their advancement in spiritual knowledge. Purport. Mayavadi philosophers are very proud of exhibiting their Vedanta knowledge through grammatical jugglery. But Lord Sri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita certifies that they are Maya Parita Gyan, which means that their real knowledge is stolen or covered by Maya. Maya has two potencies with which to execute her two functions. What are the two potencies of Maya? To throw and to cover. She throws us and covers us. And it's called Prakshep Atmika Shakti, the power to throw the living entity into the ocean of material existence, and Avaran Atmika Shakti, the power to cover the knowledge of the living entity. The function of the Avaran Atmika Shakti is explained in Bhagavad Gita by the words Maya Parita Gyan. So Maya Parita Gyan means covered. Why the Daivi Maya, or illusory energy of Krishna, takes away the knowledge of the Mayavadi philosophers is also explained in Bhagavad Gita by the use of the words asuram bhavam ashrita, which refers to a person who does not agree to the existence of the Lord. The Mayavadis who are not in agreement with the existence of the Lord can be classified into two groups, exemplified by the impersonal Shankarites of the Varanasi and the Buddhists of Saranath. Both of them are Mayavadis, the Buddhists and the Shankarites. And Krishna takes away their knowledge due to their atheistic philosophies. Neither of them agree to accept the existence of a personal God. The Buddhist philosophers clearly deny both the soul and God. And although the Shankarites do not openly deny God, they say that the Absolute is nirakar, or formless. Thus both of them are avishuddha buddhaya, means that their buddhi is avishuddha. It's not pure. Their intelligence is imperfect. The most prominent Mayavadi scholar by the name of Sarananda Yogindra has written a book called Vedanta Sara, in which he expounds the philosophy of Shankaracharya. And all the followers of Shankara's philosophy attribute great importance to his statements. In this book, Vedanta Sara, Sarananda Yogindra defines Brahman as Satchit Ananda. Right? We're talking about Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Like Lord Brahma defines it a little differently, but he says Brahman is Satchit Ananda, combined with knowledge and without duality, and he defines ignorance or jada as knowledge distinct from that of sat and asat, the temporary and eternal. This is almost inconceivable, but it is a product of the three material qualities. Thus he considers anything other than pure knowledge to be material. The center of ignorance is considered to be sometimes all-pervading and sometimes individual. Thus, according to his opinion, both the all-pervading Vishnu and the individual living entities are products of ignorance. In simple language, it is the opinion of Sarananda Yogindra that since everything is nirakar, formless, the conception of Vishnu and the conception of the individual soul are both products of ignorance. He also explains that the Vishuddha Sattva conception of the Vaishnavas is not, I don't know, it's pretty hard to understand, is nothing but pradhan, or the chief principle of creation. So Vishuddha-sattva is the principle of pure goodness, which we say is actual spiritual energy of the Lord, where you find the forms, spiritual forms of the Lord and the soul. And he's saying it's nothing but the primordial energy of creation, pradhan. He maintains that when all-pervading knowledge is contaminated by Vishuddha-sattva, which consists of a transformation of the quality of goodness, there arises the conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is omnipotent, omniscient, supreme ruler, the super soul, the cause of all causes, the supreme Ishvara, etc. According to Sadananda Yogendra, because Ishvara, the supreme Lord, is the reservoir of all ignorance, he may be called Sarvajnan or omniscient. But one who denies the existence of the omnipotent Supreme Personality of Godhead is more than Ishvara or the Lord. His conclusion, therefore, is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a transformation of material ignorance, and that the living entity is covered by ignorance. Thus he describes both collective and individual existence in darkness. According to Mayavadi philosophers, the Vaishnava conception of the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and of the jiva, or the individual soul, as his eternal servant, is a manifestation of ignorance. If we accept the judgment of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, however, the Mayavadis are to be considered Mayaparitigyan, or bereft of all knowledge, because they do not recognize the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or they claim that his existence is a product of the material conception, Maya. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his discourses with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, said, Jivera nistara lagi sutra kaila vyas, Mayavadi bhashya shunile haya sarvanash. Vyasadeva composed the Vedanta Sutra to deliver the conditioned souls from the material world. But Shankaracharya, by presenting the Vedanta Sutra in his own way, has clearly done a great disservice to human society. For one who follows the Mayavad philosophy is doomed. In the Vedanta Sutra, devotional service is clearly indicated. But the Mayavadi philosophers refuse to accept the spiritual body of the Supreme Absolute Person, and they refuse to accept that the living entity has an individual separate existence, or individual existence, separate from that of the Supreme Lord. Thus they have created atheistic havoc all over the world. For such a conclusion is against the very nature of the transcendental process of pure devotional service. The Mayavadi philosophers' unrealizable ambition to become one with the Supreme through denying the existence of the Personality of Godhead results in a most calamitous misrepresentation of spiritual knowledge. And one who follows this philosophy is doomed to remain perpetually in the material world. Therefore they are called Avishuddha Buddhaya, or unclean in knowledge. Although Mayavadis may be honored at first as very learned scholars, ultimately they descend to physical activities of politics, social work, etc. Instead of becoming one with the Supreme, they again become one with these material activities. Interesting statement. Aruya Krishna Paramparam Tata Patantyado Najita Yushwarangriya. In actuality, the Mayavadi philosophers very strictly follow the austerities and penances of spiritual life, and in this way they are elevated to the impersonal Brahman platform. But due to their negligence of the lotus feet of the Lord, they again fall down to material existence. Prakrita Karyamane Vishnu Kalevara Vishnu Ninda Aranahi Ihara Upara. One who considers the transcendental body of Lord Vishnu to be made of material nature is the greatest offender at the lotus feet of the Lord. There is no greater blasphemy against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can you understand any of this? What reading? It's pretty.
Not too much.
Because you have to read the whole thing and think about each thing as you go along. Because each verse, you know, so first by verse is a conversation. Just like if I speak a sentence to you today, and I come back the next day and continue the conversation exactly where we left off, naturally you'll be confused. And that's what I'm saying, because he's speaking one verse, that's his long purpose. In other words, we can just read, we could try just reading what he says without the purpose. The purports are huge and long. Because now he's actually, Prabhupada's going to start to explain all about Vivartavad and Parinamvad and the actual, you know, the actual Mahayavadi philosophy. The whole thing is, he presents it and he presents the arguments against it in the purport. So, if you want to see the two philosophies side by side, you have to kind of deeply study this section. Starting, especially now, it's just starting. But maybe a little bit too much to digest. Well, let me just read some verses anyway. Ishvara tatayena jvalita jvalana jivara surupayachet spulingarakan. The Lord is like a great blazing fire, and the living entities are like small sparks of that fire. Jiva tattva shakti krishna tattva shakti man gita vishnu puranadi tahite praman. The living entities are energies, not the energetic. The energetic is Krishna. This is very vividly described in the Bhagavad Gita, the Vishnu Purana, and other Vedic literature. Apareyam mitastvanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. Lord Chaitanya is quoting Bhagavad Gita. Besides the inferior nature, O mighty Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mind, which is all living entities, who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Now he quotes the Vishnu Purana. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Shetragyakya Tatapara Avidya Kama Samgyaya Chitiya Shaktarishyate. The potency of Lord Vishnu is summarized in three categories: spiritual potency, the living entities, and ignorance. The spiritual potency is full of knowledge. The living entities, although belonging to the spiritual potency, are subject to bewilderment. And the third energy, which is full of ignorance, is always visible in fruitive activities. Hena jiva tatsalana liki para tatva achana karila shreshta ishvara mahatva. The Mayavad philosophy is so degraded that it has taken the insignificant living entities to be the Lord, the Supreme Truth, thus covering the glory and supremacy of the Absolute Truth with monism. Very, very good purport, really. All right, let's read this one. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura comments in this connection that in all Vedic scriptures, the jiva tattva, means the atma or the soul, the truth of the living entities, is mentioned to be one of the energies of the Lord. So, let me turn the fan on. Is it hot in here? A lot of dust? Well, then open the window or something. Maybe you can open the window. It's going faster and faster. If it goes slow. You see it?
No, it doesn't fall. I think
this is
slow.
You have a cold?
That's
turn off,
okay.
Turn off the fan, open the window. No, it's not okay.
I'm going to test it the same.
No, so, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that in all Vedic scriptures, the jiva is described as an energy of the Lord. If one does not accept the living entity to be a minute, infinitesimal spark of the Supreme, infinite seeming, of the Supreme, but equates the jiva tattva with the Supreme Brahman, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it must be understood that his entire philosophy is based on a misunderstanding. Unfortunately, Sripad Shankaracharya purposely claim the jiva tattva, or the atmans, living entities, to be equal to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his entire philosophy is based on a misunderstanding, and it misguides people to become atheists whose mission in life is unfulfilled. The mission of human life, as described in Bhagavad Gita, is to surrender unto the Supreme Lord and become his devotee. But the Mayavad philosophy misleads one to defy the existence of the Supreme Personality of God and impose oneself as the Supreme Lord. I am God. Thus it has misguided hundreds and thousands of innocent men. The Vedanta Sutra Vyasadeva has described that the Supreme Personality of God is potent and that everything, material or spiritual, is but an emanation of his energy. Unfortunately, the Mayavad philosophy, misguiding people by claiming the living entity to be God or the Lord, has created havoc throughout the entire world and led almost everyone to godlessness. By thus covering the glories of the Supreme Lord, the Mayavadi philosophers have done the greatest disservice to human society. It is to counteract these most abominable activities of the Mayavadi philosophers that Lord Chaitanya has introduced the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Of course, he had a purpose. I mean, in other words, Shankar came as Lord Shiva came as Shankaracharya to restore the Vedas to their proper position, because they were being disregarded and neglected, and because the Buddhists didn't believe in the Vedas or anything, so people can't get much progress without having some foundation in the Vedas. So then Shankara came and restored the Vedas to prominence in people's lives, so these people accepted the Vedas again and the conceptions of the Vedas, but with a wrong twist, with an impersonal twist, or a Mayavadi, or you can say, Mayavadi conclusion. That was 2,000 years ago, but that was important. He had to do that. That was the Lord's arrangement, actually, to help people, ultimately, to accept the Vedas, because without the Vedic guidance, there's really no way out of this material world, in any way, whether impersonal or personal. It's all based on Veda. So then Lord Chaitanya came to actually put everything on the correct track. He came 500 years. Of course, the other acharyas came before him, 900 years ago, and Ramanuja and Madhva, etc., Vishnuswami, bring everything back to a more, not only taking the Vedas themselves, but then going deeper beyond the impersonal conception to actually show the personal conception of the very same scriptures which Shankara was preaching on. Vedanta Sutra, for example, they commented on those. And Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago to actually synthesize everything, to present the perfect synthesis of the entire Vedic philosophy. All the Vedas are contained within the philosophy of Chintyabheda Veda Tattva. The living entity is simultaneously, he is one with God, he's one and he's different. So this is an all-embracing philosophy, because it includes the impersonal conception and the personal conception. It's perfect and complete. So this section, if you really want to study, we could go through sometime, but in a group session it may be a little difficult. This type of study of this particular section requires that a person reads it on his own, like you would to read this section on your own, paragraph by paragraph, then write questions. So what does this mean? What does that mean? Because just to hear it all, it's like, what does it all mean? But if you read it and try to think about it, then it can be discussed in a very smaller setting. But it's this Adi Lila, chapter 7, beginning verse 119. And going on. Not very far. Going on to about 150 or so. After they were finished, it said that, I'll just read some of these verses. It says, all the basic concepts of Mayavadi philosophy are presented in here. The Parinampad, the Omkar, and the transformation of energy. They say that God is a transformation of ignorance, which we touched on and developed more. And all those things are explained. Let's see. Where was I? Okay. Hena jiva, yeah, I read that. Yasarash suche kahi parinamavad yasa branta balitara utayila vivad. In his Vedanta Sutra, Srila Vyasadeva has described that everything is but a transformation. Is that right? Transformation of the energy of the Lord. Shankaracharya, however, has misled the world by commenting that Vyasadeva was mistaken. Thus he has raised great opposition to theism throughout the entire world. Parinam vadi ishvara hayena vikari etakai vivartvad stapanad yekari. According to Shankaracharya, by accepting the theory of the transformation of energy of the Lord, one creates an illusion by indirectly accepting that the Absolute is transformed. Vastu tak parinam pad se praman dehi atma buddhi he vivartera stan. Transformation of energy is a proven fact. It is the false bodily conception of the self that is an illusion. Avichinti shakti yukta sri bhagavan itraya jagada rupe paya parinam. The Supreme Personality of God, it is opulent in all respects. Therefore, by his inconceivable energies, he has transformed the material cosmic manifestation. Tatapi achintya shakti haya avikari prakriti chintamanitai drishtanta yedhari. Using the example of a touchstone, which by its energy turns iron to gold and yet remains the same, we can understand that although the Supreme Personality of God had transformed his innumerable energies, he remains unchanged. Nanaratna rashi haya chintamani haite tatapiha mani rahe sorupe avikrite. Although touchstone produces many varieties of valuable jewels, it nevertheless remains the same. It does not change its original form. Prakriti vastute yadi achintya shakti hai Ishvara achintya shakti iteki vismai. If there is such inconceivable potency in material objects, why should we not believe in the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? In other words, there was such a thing, at least 500 years ago, such a thing as a touchstone. It's like a magic, it almost sounds magical. But it was an object, and when you would touch that touchstone to something else, and that object would turn to gold. Even as up to 500 years ago, such a thing, Chintamani. And so this was the point of reference that everyone could relate to, because they knew such a thing. Just like now, if we start talking about computer chips or something, 500 years ago, they never heard of such a thing. But you talk about, yes, there's a thing called a disc, computer disc, and do you know on this little disc here? I have the whole Encyclopedia Britannica on this little thing. No, really, how do you put all those books inside that little thing? You know, like computer technology, you put all, you know, they had a CD-ROM or something, had this computer technology, one of those little discs like you carried over there to get the typing program, you can put all the books that have ever been written on one of those. Yeah. Like 3 million books or something. They can put like all Shakespeare's books, all, like, you know, everything. So it's inconceivable, right? Because you look inside, it's some kind of, it's just a piece of plastic inside. You know, if you open the thing up, it's a little tiny record, like the old days. And it's all just some fantastic thing. So to somebody 500 years ago, no, is it possible? And a piece of plastic, where is the book? I don't see. So like now in our minds we're saying, what is this touchstone? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But 500 years ago there was such a thing as a touchstone. And there's a story that Sanatana Goswami had a touchstone, you know the story. And someone gave it to him, some rich man gave it to him, by which he could touch that touchstone to something. And so in other words, a touchstone, you touch it to something, a touchstone turns that object to gold, but the touchstone stays the same. It doesn't lose itself or transform it. By its touch, it transforms that thing into something else. So this is the whole thing about transformation of energy, because they're saying that, the Mayavadis say that, you know, the energy becomes transformed and it's lost. And the energy becomes transformed into the living entities and it's lost in the living entities. It's like we say, Om Purnamidam Purnam, Krishna is complete, and then he expands himself into so many complete units, but he's still complete. But they're saying if the absolute expands itself, then it's dissolved. It's no longer there. It's, you know, it's not. You can't do that. It's lost. When they saw Lord Chaitanya studying, even a mundane thing like a touchstone remains the same. And touches other things, turns to gold, and it's still there with all its power and potency. So God can expand into so many living entities and still be the supreme living entity. But they say when he transforms or expands, then he's lost, and it, you know, that he diminishes. I need some incense there. Idea. So Lord Chaitanya says, if there's such achintya shakti, he says, if there's such inconceivable potency in a material object, why should we not believe in the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The argument of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described in this verse can very easily be understood, even by a common man, if he simply thinks of the activities of the sun planet, which has been giving off unlimited amounts of heat and light since time immemorial, but has not yet even slightly decreased in power. The sun is there. How much heat and light has come from it? It's still the same. So it's like God, so much heat and light comes from him, from God. So many energies come from the Lord, but he hasn't decreased. He doesn't diminish. And my body says, in order for him to expand into these other things, then he decreases, loses all his power. Modern science believes that it is by sunshine that the entire cosmic manifestation is maintained. And actually, one can see how the actions and reactions of sunshine maintain order throughout the universe. The growth of vegetables and even the rotation of the planets takes place due to the heat and light of the sun. Sometimes, therefore, modern scientists consider the sun to be the original cause of creation, not knowing that the sun is only a medium, for it is also created by the supreme energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What kind of incense is it? Huh? Oh, this is nice. I like this one. You got that from Shishu? That little guy? The little shop? This is good. I like it. It reminds me a little bit of Sai Flora, but it has its own. It's similar, but it's Sai Flora, but different. It's nice. Very nice. Parijan. Oh, this may be what the other people call special flora. Almost smells like special flora. Because they have all the same, incense in all the three shops, and they have all different names. Like the one I have, one shop called it Dwarka, another shop has the same thing called it Rasalila. Same color, same stick, same smell and everything. So they get all confused by the names. I think it's like special flora. This is a thick tan colored stick. Yeah, this is like special flora. I used to buy a same stuff called special flora, that's why I recognize it. Anyway, that's what the party John. Names change, but it's the same thing. So, aside from the sun and touchstone, there are many other material things which transform their energy in different ways and yet remain as they are. It is not necessary, therefore, for the original cause, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to change due to the changes or transformations of its different energies. Very, very important point for Mayavadi or impersonal philosophy. That's one of the main, there's about 5 points that they have, and Lord Chaitanya is taking them apart one by one. You see, look at the sun planet, or look at this thing called a touchstone. The sun planet, it keeps giving off energy, energy, and energy, but it's the same. So it's not diminishing, it's not decreasing, it's not disappearing. But they say, that Mayavadi say that the absolute truth, because we say that Krishna has unlimited shaktis and energies and are expanding throughout the universe, and one of those shaktis is jiva, but he doesn't change. They say, how can he do that? If he expands, then he must get lost. How can he stay where he is and expand into all these energies? Because if he has to come out and be those energies, then it's all one. It can't be two. The sun is two. There's a sun and the sun's energy, right? The heat and light is the energy of the sun, but it's not the sun. It's coming from the sun, but it's not the sun. So there's so many, it's a shakti of the sun. The falsity of Sripad Shankaracharya's explanation of Vivartavad and Parinamvad has been detected by the Vaishnavacharyas, especially Jiva Goswami, whose opinion is that actually Shankara did not understand the Vedanta Sutra. Yeah.
So on the other side, the ex-Satan, he was impotent. I mean, he was it because just to reveal that.
Yeah, he was giving a. He had a function. He was performing a particular function, just to, you know, to drive out Buddhism, atheism. Whether it's Buddhists or a wholesale Mayavadi, he's 100% atheist. And then the Shankarites say, accept God, but accept God as one. So they have to come, in order to come to the point of theism, which is what the Vedas are all about. We have to bring people to the Vedas, bring that people back to the Vedas, because the Buddhists were completely rejected the Vedas. They just, you know, because they couldn't deal with it, because they didn't want to accept that God was impersonal or personal. There's just no God. So they don't want to deal with the Vedas at all. Because the Vedas, you know, either way you look at it, you're going to come up with some conception of God. God is impersonal or God is personal. That's what the Vedas, you know, that's what the Vedas are all about. So then Shankara, he brought people back to the Vedas, but the impersonal view. And then also he, which is not the complete, you know, complete understanding of the Vedic literature. And then so that's what's being said here.
Yes, maybe, yeah, but like even you actually said Shankara, he was he did this because this is the Buddha, and to establish to defeat the Buddhists and so on. That's why he's using this argument that he actually did in the Buddha Gita.
Why is Shankara using the argument?
Why Jiva is using the Jiva Swami is using this argument.
Well, in a Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami is explaining that the arguments that Shankara presented, Parinamvad and the other thing here, Vivartavad. In other words, he gave the impersonal explanation of these things, and we, from our side, we give the personal explanation, which is what Lord Chaitanya is doing. And he gave the impersonal explanation because that's all that people could handle at that time. In other words, the Buddhists were completely, there was no, in other words, the first level of acceptance of God is to accept the impersonal aspect of God. You have to start somewhere when you're completely in a position of atheism. So Shankara came and he said, look, God is impersonal. So he that's why Jiva says that he took the Vedas and he taught on the basis of Vedanta Sutra, but he gave a false, and even still we read the other day, she was telling Parvati, I'm going to give a false interpretation of Vedanta Sutra. Remember we read that?
Mm-hmm.
Mayavadi Shastram or whatever. So he gave a false interpretation of Vedas so that people at least would follow him. He got a huge following. He went all over India. He went all the holy place in India. Shankara went all over. And the Buddhists that couldn't deal with it, because he was converting all the Buddha. He converted the whole of India to the impersonal philosophy, and the ones who couldn't deal with it and wouldn't be converted, you could say, where'd they go? They went to Tibet. They went to Tibet and they went further to Burma and also on to Japan, and it became two branches of the Buddhists, Haryana Buddhist and the other one. So he was very effective in turning people away from Buddhism and toward the Vedas, Jiva's saying he's presented a false or incorrect conclusion of the Vedanta Sutra because he was impersonal. You know, it was an impersonal. In other words, Parinamvad, transformation of energy, is there in Vishnu Purana, and it's explained there. And that's what Lord Chaitanya is citing here. And the correct explanation, which is brings one to the personal conception, that the Lord has inconceivable and Chintya Shakti, inconceivable potencies, is what has been given by Acharyas after Shankara. But Shankara had to, you know, turn everyone back towards Vedanta Sutra, but with a false explanation of Vedanta Sutra, because he took them from absolute point of absolute atheism and tried to say it, and say the Vedas say personality, they would just reject the whole thing and would never follow. You understand?
Right.
So he gave a false interpretation. He presented the Vedas in a false way, which is impersonal. In other words, yeah, what's being said here is the ultimate explanation of all the Vedas, this personality of Godhead. This impersonal philosophy is a new thing, it's a temporary thing, it's only existed for a couple thousand years. So there's no impersonalism in Satya Yuga, there's no impersonalism in Treta Yuga. You have to understand, it's not like eternal, you know, it's like a temporary thing, temporary phenomenon. But the Vedas are eternal. They're the breathing of Mahavishnu. The breathing of Vishnu is the Vedas. The Omkar is eternal. It's a vibration. It's an eternal vibration. The beginning of creation. Who's the beginning of creation? Is Brahma. You know, Brahma is not impersonal. He's a person. The Vedas, I mean,
so his explanation is works for a particular time and place.
And that's why Jiva says it's a false explanation.
I was just looking at something because he said that Mr. Goswami, actually, the thing was that Sanskrit speech is not used to the data, and he was asking for
Yeah, so it says it's his opinion. Jiva has the opinion, he didn't understand.
But then at the end of his telling the Bhakta, Sankar said that
Yeah, he told all his followers to worship Govinda. Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Mudhamate. And he's lying on his deathbed. He said, you don't understand that from the same mouth I bewilder from... He said, from this same mouth, from my mouth, I bewilder you all. But actually, the conclusion of the Vedas, you should understand, the conclusion is you should simply worship Govinda, the Supreme Personality of God. And then they say that he was under illusions at the time of death or something. His followers, they say, well, you can't really judge a person by the last thing he says. I mean, you can't judge a person by the last thing he says. Like, I may say all nonsense and offend you throughout my whole life, and at the end of the life I might say, oh, please forgive me. And then somebody says, oh, he didn't really mean to be forgiven. He really meant all those offenses. But no, the person felt sorrowful and repentant, and at the end of life he begged forgiveness. So he wanted to leave this world, and his last words, Shankaracharya, which they accept, it's not made up, even in my life, you accept that he said that, and you even have some interpretation. He also wrote commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, he wrote glorification, he wrote the Gita Mahatmyam. Shankaracharya wrote the Gita Mahatmyam, glorifying Bhagavad Gita. I mean, Shankara philosophy is basically, it's just part of, you know, paving the way for personalism.
I had a story that when he was flying over India to visit his mother for the last time, and then he saw the bhaktas, he would have seen that they were pointing, and he was laughing at them, the bhaktas, and then he fell down, lost his foot in his feet, and his mystic power, and fell down and was completely crushed, his body was crushed.
Who?
From Shankaracharya.
Shankaracharya?
Yeah.
Was flying over India?
Yeah.
Well, how do you fly when you're supposed to be...
And he was mystic because of his mystic powers.
Not sure.
And then he fell down and he was very sick, and they helped him, and he became cured, and then he became a devotee. I did this.
I never heard that.
That's a lot of public philosophy.
Anyway, sounds like a good story. Pranavas, now, so there he talks about transformation energy. Now, another point is the Mahavakya. These are all things in Vedanta Sutra. Mahavakya means the great sound. Pranavas say Mahavakya, Vedara Nidan, Ishvara Sarupa Pranav, Sarva Vishvadam. The Vedic sound vibration, Omkar, the principal word in the Vedic literatures, is the basis of all Vedic vibrations. Therefore, one should accept Omkar as the sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the reservoir of the cosmic manifestation. And it's a long, 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 long purport all about Omkar and what is Om? Omkar. Huh? You can read it. It's really quite long. It's very philosophical. Explanation from all the Upanishads and other places. And we'll explain some of the meaning of Om, the personal meaning of Om, when we discuss the Gayatri. Throughout all the Vedic literatures, the glories of Omkar are specially mentioned. Everywhere it's Om Namo Shivaya, Om Tat Sat, Om this, Om that, everything, no matter what whatever it is, Om is there. Om Tat Sat, Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om is there. So Jiva Goswami says in his Bhagavat Sandarbha that in the Vedic literature, Omkar is considered to be the sound vibration of the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only this vibration of transcendental sound can deliver a conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. Sometimes Omkar is also called the deliverer, Tara. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the Omkara vibration. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Potencies are invested in the holy vibration of the holy name of the Lord. There's no doubt that the holy name of the Lord, or Omkara, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. In other words, anyone who chants Omkara in the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, immediately meets the Supreme Lord directly in His sound form. It goes on. Omkara is a combination of the letters A-O and Um. A-U and M. A means, the letter A refers to Krishna, who is Sarvaloke Nayaka, the master of all living entities. A, and all planets, material and spiritual. He's the leader, the supreme leader. The letter U indicates Srimati Radharani. Aum, the pleasure potency of Krishna, and M indicates the living entities. Thus, Om is the complete combination of Krishna, His potency Radha, and His eternal servitors. Aum. In other words, Omkar represents Krishna, His name, fame, pastimes, entourage, expansions, devotees, potencies, and everything else pertaining to Him. Sarva Vishwadham. Omkar is the resting place of everything, just as Krishna is the resting place of everything. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Mayavadi philosophers consider many Vedic mantras to be the Mahavakya, means the great sound vibration, or the principal Vedic mantras, such as Tattvam Asi, or Idam Sarvam Yad Ayam Atma, and Brahmaidam Sarvam, and Neya Nanasti Kinchana. That is a great mistake. Only Omkar is the Mahavakya. All these other mantras which the Mayavadis accept as the Mahavakya are only incidental. They cannot be taken as the Mahavakya or the Mahamantra. The mantra Tattvamasi indicates only a partial understanding of the Vedas, unlike Omkar, which represents the full understanding of the Vedas. Therefore, the transcendental sound which includes all Vedic knowledge is Omkar, Pranava. Let me go on a whole discussion, Mahavakya. Sarvashraya Ishvara Pranav. Anyway, it goes on a whole thing about Lord Chaitanya talks about Pranava, the Omkar, as opposed to Tattvamasi. Tattvamasi means I am that. What's the meaning of I am that? Tattvamasi. Tattvam.
I am what?
I am that.
Who is it?
I am it.
I am that. I am dead.
Well, that's right understanding. The Prabhupada says, he translates Tattvamasi means you are the same spiritual identity. In other words, I am Brahman, you are Brahman, I am that Tattvam. I am that Brahman, I am that same spiritual identity. It is the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to present pranava, omkara, as a reservoir of all Vedic knowledge. The words tattvamasi are only a partial explanation of Vedic knowledge. Omkara is the Mahavakya, Mahamantra in the Vedas. Shankaracharya's followers cover this to stress, without authority, the mantra tattvamasi. Lord Chaitanya is speaking. In all the Vedic sutras and literatures, it is Lord Krishna who is to be understood, but the followers of Shankaracharya have covered the real meaning of the Vedas with indirect explanations. The self-evident Vedic literatures are the highest evidence of all, but if these literatures are interpreted, their self-evident nature is lost. The Mayavad school, giving up the real, easily understood meaning of Vedic literatures, has introduced indirect meanings based on their imaginative powers to prove their philosophy. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus showed for each and every sutra the defects in Shankaracharya's explanation, all the assembled Mayavadi sannyasis were struck with wonder. All the Mayavadi sannyasis said, "Your Holiness, kindly know from us that we have no quarrel with your refutation of these meanings, for you have given a clear understanding of the sutras. We know that all this word jugglery springs from the imagination of Shankaracharya, and yet because we belong to this sect, we accept it, although it does not satisfy us. Now let us see how well you can describe the sutras in terms of their direct meaning." Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his direct explanation of the Vedanta Sutra. Brihadvastu Brahmakai Sri Bhagavan Sadvidaishvaryapurna Paratattvadam. Brahman, who is greater than the greatest, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is full of six opulences, and therefore he is a reservoir of ultimate truth and absolute knowledge. Now he goes on. Finished? Yeah? Okay. Anyway, he goes on to explain all these things directly to all these things, Brahman. What's the last one?